Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Alrighty, welcome to the Celtics Lab podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Tabatabai. I'm joined by Alex Goldberg and Dr. Justin Quinn. The Celtics Lab podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. It's hot. It's July. It is a week or two away from like the absolute doldrums of the offseason. But Boston still has a few open roster spots and an unsigned or unextended Jaylen Brown. So for a little bit longer, we have things to podcast about, and that's what we'll do today. Before that, Alex, how was your show in Philly? And now that the tour is over, how was the tour?
The show in Philly was great. It was a really fun way to cap off the tour. For those of you who don't know, if you enjoyed the music there at the top, my band is the man that created that song. And we have just wrapped up our first tour of the United States and Canada, really. Philly was great. We had 200 something people there, both terrific opener bands in it's been really fun. The band name is, of course, Divine Sweater. It's been really fun. You know, Cameron joined me at the Sinclair for our big blowout show in Boston. And it's just capped off what's been a wild month or so. I'm feeling very tired and a little bit frazzled, but we're back. We're here. The off season keeps going and feeling good.
And Alex is moving to Brooklyn soon, so keep an eye out for a particularly handsome man walking the streets of Brooklyn. Dr. Quinn, you're going on vacation. What's good with your vacation?
I am going to Oaxaca, which is the time-tested manner to make whatever, you know, blockbuster trades or any other major news just like flop in your face. So I assume as soon as I'm on the plane, that'll happen.
Which means I'm sitting ready to talk about Jaylen Brown extensions and signings of some description, of course. All right, let's get into it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll talk about the Jaylen thing, although there's not particular news, but we'll recap what we know. Talk about the end of Summer League and in the lab portion of the programming, which we like to say. We'll talk about who Boston may or may not be looking to sign. They have a few back of the roster moves available, and then a mega trade looms large because why not? So let's do exactly that. Let's start with the Jaylen Brown thing. Basically, it's Monday afternoon, and it has been reported that the two sides are on pause, talking about this extension, while Jaylen does some NBPA stuff overseas. It's kind of weird to me that no one seems to have reported what it is. I saw it, the NBPA was in Milan, but who knows? Jaylen loves to travel. In any event, it doesn't appear as if this is any sort of major roadblock. All reporting indicates that both sides want to get this deal done, and instead they're going to look at some of the finer details, which I spent most of my day trying to understand today, which are important. They're important. So the headline will be Supermax contract, we're pretty sure. However, the bells and whistles may look a little different. Dr. Quinn, anything I missed there in terms of facts?
No, report. I mean, we are also, like many people, trying to work our way through this new CBA and what is and what is not allowed, what has changed and what is the same regarding Supermax, regarding incentives and Supermaxes. There's a little bit of confusion about exactly what's going on, and it may just be related to the fact that not really too many people are very sure of these things yet. So be on the lookout for more of that. I think hopefully today, when we are recording, your article on that will be out.
Cool. Love it. Yeah. Yossi Goslin of Hoopsite. Yossi Goslin of Hoopsite. Jeez, I always say his name wrong. He helped tremendously. Basically, they're choosing between options, player option, team option. Maybe there's a trade kicker if the value of the contract is actually less than the full Supermax, in which case other incentives come in. And Jaylen could say, hey, pay me most of it right now, or pay me over the course of a certain number of years. So we think that the Jaylen Brown will be in Boston for the next few years, but whether or not he has a player option or team option or something is remains to be seen. Okay, some other bits of news, and then we'll keep it moving. The Celtics have interest in Austin Rivers. That's kind of fun. We have a whole list of guys that we think we want Boston to take a look at, but this has actually been reported, I think, by way of the Globe and Gary Washburn. Alex, does Austin Rivers do anything for you?
That's fine. I mean, I think that Austin Rivers had a kind of a better than expected season with the Minnesota Timberwolves somewhat recently. He's a pretty inconsistent player and kind of has been for his whole career, but there are things he does well. He's a perfectly fine scorer. You know, he's got size that I think would be useful at his position. The deal with Austin Rivers is that he is somewhat one-dimensional as an offensive player, and he is very bad as a defender and kind of always has been. So, you know, I don't think it would be the end of the world. I imagine that it would be difficult for him to get serious minutes on this team, but screw it, for the minimum, it's fine with me.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. He will probably piss off Peyton Pritchard if he makes the team, even if he does play more of a two, which is not really like advantageous for his size. And there really isn't any like benefit to teaming him up with the other guards on the roster. So I think he's kind of like what you were saying, Alex, just kind of like a deep insurance policy who can also like step up if someone has to take a night off or something like that. It's interesting, but I think they could probably do better.
Yeah, I would say unless he has some sort of relationship with like Sam Cassell or something, and the coaching staff wants an extension of their culture and their messaging out there on the court, maybe. But I also don't think Austin Rivers would see the court that much. So it's out there. It's our duty just to talk about it. I like Austin Rivers. He seems like a nice enough guy. He's got cool cars. The Banner 18.
Good podcast.
Good podcast. Well, likewise. I don't think Banner 18 rests on the shoulders of Austin Rivers, but I don't know. I mean, stranger things have happened. Jay Scrub, not that kind of scrub, but that's just his last name. He got a two-way deal. Dr. Quinn, what's good with Jay Scrub?
Well, he has some potential. You know, he could be a rotation player eventually if he keeps developing. He's still pretty young. I think he's 22 or maybe just about to turn 23. He is not going to see the floor very much for the Celtics as a two-way player, except for maybe, like, say, Jalen has to take a night off to rest a hamstring or something like that. And even then, he's probably going to see like maybe 10 or 8 minutes a game. It's a very, 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 very most. So cool signing, maybe some future cheap depth, but that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, we're in that era where, you know, Boston's signing two-way guys and it feels like the most important thing. But with respect to Jay Scrub or Austin Rivers, to prove us wrong. Some other bits of news, and then again, we'll hop into what the rest of the offseason might look like. Gabe Vincent, formerly of the Miami Heat, recently said that the Celtics just weren't right this postseason. Alex, is he wrong?
I think there's definitely something to the idea that the Celtics weren't 100% right. Just in the sense that I think, you know, going into the playoffs with Joe Mazzulla for the first time, there were some kinks that needed to be worked out on the offensive end. We saw that in all of their series. You know, for what it's worth, like, I'm still kind of the opinion that the Celtics largely had a pretty good playoff run, even if it ended in a disappointing way. Like, the team, for the most part, played well, rose to the occasion, nearly completed one of the great comebacks in NBA history, and lost because of a mix of incredible shooting variance and Jason Tatum spraining his ankle at a very inopportune time. You know, despite all of the kind of bumps in the road, the Celtics still, I think, for the most part, had a pretty good postseason. I definitely get the sense that, like, yeah, there probably were some weird chemistry things going on behind the scenes. You could kind of see it playing out on the court, in which, like, the team would kind of forget how to play basketball. And that leads to frustration in a high-tense playoff atmosphere. But I don't know. I mean, I don't have enough evidence in the Celtics locker room to really speak one way or another as to whether there was something profoundly wrong with the team. We know what we know, which is that they had a playoff run where they fell short of their expectations. They traded Marcus Smart in the offseason, and I think they probably did that mostly because they wanted Kristaps Porzingis, but maybe they did so because there were other reasons involved. There's reportedly some tension between Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, and Joe Mazzulla about their roles and about the way that they were playing. Marcus Smart and Grant Williams are both gone now. I think that's not insane to think that that's not a coincidence. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the fundamental building blocks of the team are Tatum and Brown and everybody around them. And, you know, these guys want to win. They care about that more than anything. So, you know, maybe there are, but that feels a little bit of a stretch to me.
Yeah, I don't know. So much about narratives are so fickle. To your point, Boston, I think they missed their first 12 threes in game 7. Yeah. To say nothing of Tatum's injury. I mean, they're a few threes away from getting the right footing and on. I do think it looking back and winning fixes everything. It does seem like a lot of teams who have gone the distance usually are the healthiest teams, obviously the teams that hit their threes, but also the teams that have like incredible mojo. That Bucks team had it going on. This Nuggets team had it going on. That Warriors team really pulled together in the end. So I don't think necessarily, I mean, Gabe Vincent had a better window into it than we did, but I don't know that the team was off, but I don't think that they were, you know, rich with good vibes and exuberance.
I mean, realistically, in a zero-sum game like the NBA, where perhaps now more than ever, people only care about who's winning the title at the end, everybody's off if you don't win the title. That's kind of how it is. Like, if you don't win the title, there was something wrong with your team, because otherwise you would have won the title. And I feel like a lot of the kind of big problems that are thrown about when discussing teams are mostly a result of like reflecting back on why a team didn't win, as opposed to like, you know, some deep catastrophic problem in most cases, not all.
Yeah.
To bring it full circle, I think going back to the press conference on media day at the beginning of the season, if you had told me that the Celtics would have made it to the very cusp of making it back to the NBA finals after everything that had gone on to start the season, I would have been pretty happy. And like, if you look into, say, like Grant Williams' recent comments since he has been signed and traded to the Mavericks, he definitely hints at there was something going on in there that he was involved in. He talks about, I think, like a 2-week period of unprofessionalism that he regrets. And if that 2-week period of unprofessionalism happened to be in the postseason, then that might be the very thing that was being referred to.
Honestly, I doubt it. Grant was the only one with even like a little bit of fight in that game 7, it looked like, but whatever, we can move off it.
I think we have to give more credit to Derek White. Sorry. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay, Derek White. Yeah, that game 6 shot also helped change the narrative entirely. Things could have looked really different for the Celtics. I'm trying to think offhand who the happiest teams in the NBA are right now. Denver obviously comes to mind, but a lot of unhappy locker rooms and front offices, it seems like. I don't know. Okay, a few other things of note. Really, we're just going to put a bow on Summer League. And that is to say, do we have any glaring or happy takeaways, least of which that the team has been playing zone in Summer League, which Celtics fans probably like reflexively cringe when they hear the word zone based on that.
It's smart, though. I think it's actually a really good idea. But it also tells us something important, I think, if you really look into the tea leaves here, in that, one, they know that this team is not built to be the same kind of defensive team it was. You can't be the switchy team without Marcus and without Grant. And the kind of players that they have are very long and apt to use as a zone. So I think now they have a repertoire of like, they can still switch a little bit as a small ball team, like with like Rob Roaming. But for the most part, now they have to use this kind of defense or drop, right?
Yeah.
And this suggests that they are aware that they are very exploitable, even in drop, as we saw with Al Horford last season, just getting torched out there by guards. So this gives them something else they can go to if that starts happening, which is, you know, kind of good.
And least of which, like we saw with the Heat, yes, it was a problem for the Celtics, but the real problem was they would turn the zone off and Boston would get confused and slowly adapt, and then they would go back to man and Boston was confused. So to have multiple talents that are a little sharp goes a long way. So
I think it also hints that they don't plan on making any major moves immediately based on the personnel they have, their signing that they brought in. It could, that could just be me guessing, but to me, instituting something as fundamental of a shift in the way that they defend as the zone tells me that they are really thinking about this roster being the roster for the most part.
Or at the very least, the main Celtics are all in on the zone. Yeah. I'm sure we'll burn a podcast episode on, hey, they could put Brogdon and Horford and some future picks together and look at them. They could get a really, really big name player. And maybe that is exactly what the plan is at the trade deadline or something. But I think here at the Celtics Side Podcast, we think the dust is settling. And in fact, they're going to just sign a vet minimum guy, which is a good segue to the lab. So let's hop into the Celtics lab. Everyone put on your safety goggles and your gloves. And let's talk about what the rest of the offseason maneuvering might look like for Brad Stevens, Mike Zarin, and the rest of them. So, Dr. Quinn, can you explain to us what is still out there in terms of like business that can or needs to be done for this roster?
Not a lot. So there could be some changes in terms of the wall that is the second apron. The Celtics are very close to it. They can probably afford to sign one veteran minimum guy, which is, you know, not coincidentally the only spot they have open. They could let go of Justin Champagny and Luke Kornet, who are both on unguaranteed deals, and free up about another $4 million. Even still, it seems unlikely they will even use the full mini MLE mid-level exception that they have. So almost certainly, barring one of those big trades, which is increasingly unlikely at the moment, given very few teams have cap space to absorb any salary in the first place, the long version you just heard, the short version is they are probably just signing a minimum guy.
Yeah, they could trade away Pritchard and get rid of Champagne. And if you want to get on the trade machine, you can probably get maybe $5-6 million to play with, but likely it's a veteran contract. And they'll sign some two-way guys, at least ahead of training camp, if not for the final roster, depending on how they like their main guys. So that's where we're looking at. We're going to read those tea leaves. We've got our phones on. If that changes while we're recording, we'll hit reset. But that's what we're looking at. Boston is going to make a move on the margin, but sometimes these guys can be impactful, at least in the locker room. As an aside, because I just am curious and selfish, did they use the biannual exception last year?
I don't think so, but they're not really in a position to do so because then they have to shed a bunch of salary and they have nowhere to shed it to because that will hard cap them at the first apron.
Good. That's why I ask you these things. Okay, quickly, we did have Summer League, not just for shoots and googs, but also to see if any of the guys who came over are worth adding either to Maine or to the proper Boston Celtics. Dr. Quinn, you've been most dialed into this, so I'll give you the floor. Are there any of the Summer League guys that you really want to shout out as dudes who should definitely get a spot in Maine or beyond?
Well, I do think they need a different look in terms of a big that they could, you know, conceivably have play some minutes during the regular season because they're probably going to need to with three injury-prone or aging big men. So I would really like to see Udoka Azubuike or Azubuki or however. I've heard his name said several ways, so if I'm murdering your name, I'm really sorry. I will get it right if you join the team because I will have to. Besides that, Alexander Balcerowski would be interesting, but he is on a guaranteed deal overseas, which would need to be bought out, which means unless he's getting that last roster spot, which is not absurd, you could see a little bit of Daniel Tice in him. I don't think that's very realistic. So just because of his current situation, I think that we'd have to let go of him. Justin Bean has been pretty interesting. I think he's a main guy. Reggie Kisun Lal, whose name I'm probably also murdering, he has been a main guy. He probably will be a main guy. I could see him getting that last 2A spot. He is a very mobile big man who has some guard skills and is very intriguing, but he also makes a lot of silly mistakes. And then besides that, Vincent Valerio Bodon, he's probably not going to make the leap because he's overseas to the G League. I'm not sure what his contract situation is moving forward, but he was kind of interesting. I think of all the people that we saw up there, that Azubuike has the best chance of being an impact player for the Celtics, as well as having a future. He's about 240 pounds, and I think he's like 6'11". So he brings a kind of big that the Celtics don't really have, and I think he probably is the most deserving, even though he wasn't the most impressive of a roster spot, given what Boston would need from that spot.
Yeah, it's worth noting, Cabin Gele played with Atlanta over the summer. He could easily still come back because he has ties to the organization, but if Boston wanted to, like, you know, reshuffle the decks, having this athletic big man in development, Udoka would be a good name to look at. All right, so yeah, Jordan Walsh stole our hearts, and a few other guys showed out, but it's summer league. Let's not go nuts. So we're gonna play a game. The premise is Boston has a few million dollars to play with in an open roster spot. And we have a few names that are here on our list that may or may not be affordable, may or may not be available, but more importantly, may or may not be a good fit for the Celtics. So we'll go in order and we'll take turns throwing out a name, and then we'll decide, should Boston get after it? We got go hard written down, make the call, consider it, or hang up, which doesn't really, no offense, Justin, I don't think that makes any sense. I guess if they came calling to you, or just delete their number or something.
Well, some of these guys are getting, their agents are calling the Celtics saying, hey, are you interested? So, I mean, it works better. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just teasing you. Okay, so I said no particular order. It's alphabetical. Man, teachers' brains don't work in the summer. Okay.
As they shouldn't. We're not being paid.
I get paid through the summer. Well, it's a lump sum, so I don't know. I don't even know what today is. Anyway, Justin, I'll give you the first. You go first just to like model how the game is played, and then Alex, you can go next.
Okay, so I'm going to do this wrong, so that way one of you guys can contest my assessment, which is go hard for Will Barton.
Oh, okay. I see what you... Okay. No, don't do that. Wrong.
Why? Tell me. Wrong. Tell me why. So you have to tell us why Will Barton is a bad person to go hard on. If one of us is wrong, we contest it. If we're right, we move on.
Okay, I'm using...
Go ahead. No, you got it, Ken.
I just feel like he's the kind of player is better with volume, but I don't think I know him to be a guy who, you know, doesn't play every third game and still shows up and hits shots. Not that he's a curmudgeon or anything. I just think that he's a rhythm guy. So if he, you know, if Boston was a little more in transition and they had more shots for him, I'd be interested in that, I suppose. But as a guy who conceivably, you know, hopefully wouldn't have much of a role, I don't think it works.
So what's his designation?
Hang up. There's other names on this list that we have to call back. Okay. So that's how the game is played. Alex, you have the next name on the list.
I have the next name on the list. All right. Well, and so sorry, just to be clear, I can pick anybody on this list or I'm just reading.
It doesn't really matter as long as we get through the whole thing.
All right. Well, then I'm going to pick the name that I wanted to pick, which is Wes Matthews. I'm going to make the case that Wes Matthews is a guy that Boston should make a call on. And I think his shooting is available. You know, he's always been a pretty good catch and shoot guy. He has a lot of veteran experience. He's not as bad a defender as I think people think he is, at least the last time he was seeing the court. He hasn't played a lot recently. He's been kind of bumped out of the Bucks rotation and is, of course, an unrestricted free agent that has not been picked up. He's definitely old. But I still think his presence on the roster actually might be kind of useful as a depth swingman with some vet experience, particularly for the playoffs.
So is that a go hard or make a call?
That's a make a call. I don't feel like the Celtics would be in a disastrous place if they missed out on Wes Matthews, but I feel like he could be a nice addition to the team.
That's fair.
Okay. I guess I'm up. How come is there a reason Harry Giles isn't on this list?
No, I just didn't think that it was very likely they'd give him a regular roster spot.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, I think people are interested enough, at least of which
Jason's sure. Put him on. He's now on.
Okay. I'm going to say hang up, but here's the deal.
Why did you do that to me for
because,
then?
Because.
Okay. All
right. Look, the Jaylen Brown extension matters bigly, but Tatum's up next. And Smart and Grant were guys that he liked and came out publicly and said, I hope to play with them again sometime soon. If there's even a little bit of smoke to a Tatum fire out there, it's not an important enough roster position that like, yeah, he wants to play with his friend. He makes it so clear every year that could be meaningful. So if behind the scenes, Brad Stevens and company already think like, we got to butter Jason Tatum's buns a little bit here, I would make the call. However, from an X's and O's perspective, Harry Giles, respectfully, no, thank you. So I think it's intellectually honest to have brought it up because of social media and whatnot. But unless Tatum is quietly preparing a hissy fit, as well he might.
I don't think he's going to, and this is my case why, because he went out of his way to make a call to make sure that the players union and the board changed the rules so he would be eligible for a two-way spot, which is where I think he would end up.
Harry Giles, yeah. Well, Portland's lovely in January. Okay, Justin, you're up.
I'm going to go with Bismack Biyombo. I am going to say go hard in this case, because even though he has been in the league for a while, he's really only 30 years old. He blocks like 1.5 blocks per game in very limited minutes. And he could be, I mean, he's probably going to end up a Phoenix Sun from the chatter that we've been hearing. But if he doesn't, then they should be making a call and several to get someone like him on the roster.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit and go for a consider, just because, not even because I dislike Bismack Biyombo as a player, but just because I feel like the allocation of resources, to me, I'm not sure center is the position to go there. I just feel like with Porzingis, Rob Williams, and Al Horford, that's a ton of center minutes that have already been soaked up, particularly as well, if they re-sign Luke Kornet, that's five bigs on the roster. I just don't get the sense that Biyombo would play all that much. So I'm going to go with
health.
No, I understand you. I just feel like at a certain point, you're like, it's hard to ask guys to sign up for a team with not much money and to voluntarily be like, you're the fourth big unless somebody gets hurt. And maybe somebody will get hurt, but you're the fourth big. I just don't feel like Biyombo would be happy with that situation. So I'm going to go with a consider, just because I feel like, again, I do like the player, but I'm not sure that's a go hard for me.
Split the difference from make a call.
That's sure. What I was going to say. So, and also we're playing the game with the assumption that both Champagne and Luke Kornet either have their contracts guaranteed or partially guaranteed. So there's a world, Alex, where in order to get Biyombo through the door, you get rid of Kornet and then you still have to, you know, go sign Will Barton or something. So I want Boston to carry a very much so serviceable backup big man, because Porzingis, Rob Williams, and Horford can't all be relied on to be there every night. No offense to them. So whether it's Biyombo or all in on Kornet, I really hope that they don't shave down the center rotation. But yeah, Biyombo, I guess the hesitation for me is no one throws lobs in Boston the way that Chris Paul throws lobs. And so the way he worked for the Suns as like a reclamation project looks a little different, but seems like a high character guy. That matters. Okay, Alex, I think it's your turn.
It is my turn. And you know, I have been trying to just really catch up to speed on some of these potential summer league guys in just like the past few minutes or so. And so based purely on the, again, very quick hitter research that I've done in summer league, I am prepared to say that Boston has a go hard candidate that is not on this list. And it's Jared Butler, a guy who is currently playing for the Spurs summer league team. And he scored 31 points the other day in a loss to the Wizards. He is an unrestricted free agent. Sorry, my apologies. He's playing for the Thunder team. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's pretty young. And I feel like that the stat lines that he's been putting up just in looking at them over summer league have been enough to catch my attention. And, you know, I feel like why not instead of like rolling the dice with, you know, another washed veteran who will play.
I like that thinking. Game,
why not roll with a young upside guy? So I'm going to say go hard for Jared Butler. Why not?
I'm going to push back on that, even though I support your general philosophy here, only because Danny cut him from the Utah Jazz. And that's a team that is going to need younger players on the come up in terms of development. So if Danny cut him, I am going to push back just a little bit to consider.
I would only counter on that saying that I'm not sure that Danny Ainge has been the best evaluator of young players.
Okay. All right. Make the call, split the difference.
I'm going to, I guess, steal that line of thinking a little bit. I think Mac McClung, it would be okay. I'm going hard for a couple of reasons. First of all, it would be hilarious. The Peyton Pritchard comparisons write themselves. They're two little white guys playing at the end of Boston's bench. Second, I mean, he was such a hero in that dunk contest. And then Philly, like, I'm sure couldn't find a role for him in rotation, but just like as a vibes resetter, as a distraction, as a good marketing tool, I feel like they could have done more with that. So again, I don't have that many hangups that the 14th or 15th guy on Boston's bench is going to change their fortunes that much. Matt McClung is a hero for so many reasons. It'd be fun, be funny. Also, he could dunk the hell out of the ball. He might go back to the dunk contest. It'd be fun to have a Celtic in the dunk contest again. So all things considered, I'm going hard for Matt McClung.
I'm going to push back a little bit on the Mac McClung front, just because Mac McClung has been kicking around as a guy who could make the jump to the NBA for a couple of years now, and he hasn't. The sense I get from Mac McClung is that he is a very impressive dunker and that he doesn't really do much more than that. And there's something to be said for having an impressive dunker for garbage time, sure. But I kind of want the Celtics to go after a guy who could actually see the floor on a meaningful sense.
We need a whole new list of guys then.
I think some of these guys might actually fit that bill. I'm going to nominate. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to nominate Amadou Diallo in that role. Creeping from the young guy logic, right? He's got some development ahead of him, potentially. He can't hit the broadside of a barn, but he won't really be needed to because he's only going to be coming in defending in spurts, maybe providing a little bit of slashing, which, you know, the Celtics could really use, seeing as they don't really have any slashers that I can think about other than maybe Jordan Walsh, who has played precisely this many, zero for the non-YouTube crowd, NBA minutes so far. So I am going to go hard for Amadou Diallo.
And he could dunk the hell out of the ball.
Yes, he can.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah, I'm fine with him. Yeah, he's good.
You're up.
All right, Alex, you're up.
All right. Well, in the vein of looking for kind of guard forward types who can play a little swing, who are not particularly old and who might actually be able to see the floor in an NBA game, I'm going to say that the Celtics should at the very least make a call and maybe go hard for Svi Mykhailiuk. So Mykhailiuk has bounced around a little bit in the Detroit Pistons, and the Charlotte Hornets. He's never really found a spot that he's stuck at, but he's a perfectly fine corner three-point shooter who can soak up some minutes as a backup three or two. I don't think he's any great shakes, but I think he has enough actual NBA experience that he could foreseeably get something like a ninth or 10th man role in the right circumstances. And I think if he came to Boston, he would suddenly find his life getting much easier because there would actually be players who would force defenses to sag off of him on his team. So Svi Mykhailiuk, fuck it. I'm going to say go hard.
I'm on the cusp. I won't push back though. Screw it.
I don't know who that person is. So sure, you can have him. I'm going to say RJ Hampton next, and I'm going to say consider it. And I'm going to acknowledge that I thought I was talking about RJ Hunter. And I was like, there's no way that I am not missing something here, but that's hilarious. Turns out RJ Hampton is a former first round pick from 2020. He at times is an okay 3-point shooter, and that's about it. Seems like he's worth a flyer. Young players are not set in stone. This is who they are. So again, you could go get a reasonably established vet and you sort of know what you're going to get, or you can kind of roll the dice on a young guy who it'd probably have to be someone who ends up being two-way or at least finds ways to develop off the court. But if we're going to take a flyer, I mean, the Matt McClung thing is more just for that, like one or two highlights, this kid, RJ Hampton, maybe could actually be more consistent if he finds his footing. So I'd say consider RJ Hampton, nothing more.
I like it, particularly because Hampton has kind of had a weird career where he hasn't really had a chance to actually stick on a team for all that long and really develop. He's been traded a couple of times, I think, and it's less because of his play and more just because he's a young player with some upside who happened to be on teams that wanted vets and they just found him expendable. So sure, why not? Go for it. RJ Hampton.
Cool. Okay. We have a few more names on our list. Again, we're establishing who should Boston sign with this open roster spot, probably at the vet minimum or nearly there. And there's some other moving and shaking. Maybe they would do, they in theory could end up with two of these guys or none of these guys. But anyways, Justin, keep the train going. You're up.
I'm going to go with make a call for Javonte Green for the same reason you brought up Harry Giles, as well as the fact that he does a lot of things.
I thought he signed.
Did he sign? I might have old news, but as far as I know, last I heard, he would welcome a new deal with the Celtics based on some Sean Devenny reporting of heavy fame.
As of like 1 week ago, Javonte Green has not signed. So,
I don't know why I thought he did. Sorry to give you fake news. Okay, I think that's wait. What? Look at this picture, the first picture when you Google Javonte Green. Why would that be the first picture? It's just him lying, he's planking on the ground for the non-YouTube crowd. Okay, yeah, sorry, Justin. I agree with that entirely. Good for the vibes, good for the Tatum. And good for defense, probably. Okay, Alex, you're up.
I'm looking at the rest of this list and I'm not having a great time, I'll be honest. All right. Screw it. If the Boston Celtics are looking for additional long athletic wing guys who maybe are worth a random gamble, even if there's been no evidence to prove that they're actually an NBA player, the Boston Celtics should at least consider Kevin Knox. You know, he's not great. He's had a pretty kind of rough ride as an NBA player, bouncing around various teams, not really playing meaningful minutes for anybody. But he's still big, he's still long, he's still fairly young. Who knows, he might have some untapped athletic upside, and maybe you chuck him in the right role and he can emerge as a kind of utility defender. So consider Kevin Knox. Why not?
I'm pushing back. Why not? Because you give all of Kevin Knox's minutes to Jordan Walsh. They're the same player.
Yeah, they are very similar.
And Jordan Walsh's arms might even be longer. So yeah, I'm rooting for Kevin Knox, but Jordan Walsh needs those minutes if there's minutes to go around. All right, am I up? Yeah, I'm up. Okay. Yeah, this is not the list, but the list that we came up with. The point of the exercise is whoever Boston gets is perhaps not going to inspire. There's a name on our notes that will come up later that maybe some of you are screaming at us about that I'm tempted to say, because I think thinking about it, that is my pick, but I'm not going to say it in the spirit of the game. I'm just going to close the loop and say Terrence Ross. I don't know how many times we've had to talk about a Terrence Ross rumor, Terrence Ross to the Celtics. We saw with the Suns, he can't stay on the court. Consider it. Don't hang up, but you don't have to get aggressive there. But just cosmically, I'll say Terrence Ross.
I'm tired of the Terrence Ross discourse, so I'm going to push back. Ocean State job lot Jaylen Brown can go to a different team, I think.
Hey, I love the Ocean State job lot, so maybe they should make a call for Terrence Ross. All right, Dr. Quinn, you're up.
Celtics should consider Willie Hernan Gomez if they want to find a big man who can play some good regular season minutes, probably never any, you know, serious postseason minutes, but just like save the legs of the three guys we mentioned earlier who will be eating up most of the playoff postseason minutes and a large amount of the regular season minutes, but maybe wouldn't be as upset as Biombo, but not regular playing time, considering the fact that I think he's probably lacking any specific skills like Biombo has with shot blocking. I think he's a lot closer to being out of the league than Biombo is.
Yeah, I think that's true. But he has an acting career. Is Porzingis the only player playing in FIBA for the Celtics? I don't think it's just Porzingis playing in FIBA. I know there's other players.
No, Shea Brissett is playing for Team Canada as well.
Oh, cool. I like that kid. That's my new favorite player, everyone. I want you to know that. Alrighty, Alex, a few more names on our list. Celtics sign these people?
Yeah. There is one more name that I would actually go hard for, and that's Terrence Davis, backup guard for the Sacramento Kings. So Terrence Davis, not particularly notable as an NBA player, but quietly chipped his way into a Kings rotation that has some real guard depth and played for them in the playoffs. And I watched that Warriors-Kings series. Terrence Davis was pretty good in that series in a pretty high pressure atmosphere. against some really challenging competition in the Golden State Warriors. Like, he wasn't, you know, dominating, but he, you know, he's a role player and he played his role well. He's still young. He's still got some upside. I think the Kings guard room is pretty crowded, and that's a big part of why he's available in the first place. But I think Terrence Davis could get on this team, and I think he could actually maybe steal some minutes from a couple of guys who would be playing for them otherwise. So I'm going hard for Terrence Davis.
I like that. That's the profile of a player that if they don't get a big man, I'd like them to look there. So I can dig it.
Likewise.
Okay, speaking of which, I'm going to say that they should consider maybe even start by making the call for this player. And I'm going to give two contradictory reasons. They should maybe make a call for Willie Cauley-Stein for the following reasons. One, I think if Robert Williams went down, you could put Willie Cauley-Stein in the same role as like Rover 4, and it would, if you squint, look the same. The second reason is because Willie Cauley-Stein could talk to Robert Williams and be like, hey, I've never taken conditioning seriously in my career ever, and now look at me. You should take conditioning more seriously, which again are contradictory thoughts. But I do think Rob Williams is going to go out at some point for a little bit, and rangy and fast and lengthy explosive big man like Willie Cauley-Stein helps just kind of like plug and place the exact same thing. I do also think that like maybe he could mentor Robert Williams to say like, hey, I was on my way to being a big cheese and it never materialized. What are you going to do differently? So somewhere between consider and make a call, but there's other names on this list I like more.
I'm not too crazy about him.
I don't hate it for the reasons that you laid out. I don't really love it either. And again, you know, I think the thing about Willie Cauley-Stein is I just don't think he would play all that much, as is the case with generally the bigs. I really do think like in the event that Robert Williams, Al Horford, or Kristaps Porzingis were to miss any sort of extended time, the likely outcome for Boston is much more like we're just going to go small and play with one big than it is we will like force an inadequate fourth big man into the lineup.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys take the last two on the board and then I'll take that mystery one. Justin, you're up.
Okay, so there is an option out there who would be the perfect Grant Williams replacement, who can pass the ball. You can score, you can defend, but he can't stay on the damn court. That would be Justice Winslow, who I think would be worth a call, but they would need more than 30 games out of him, which is about what he's been putting out of the season since he's come into the league. So I wouldn't be too excited about the prospect.
You're not trying to trade four future first round picks for Justice Winslow? Yeah, whatever.
I'd like a whole 30 for 30 on that, possibly. That just continues to defy belief.
Michael Jordan saved the Celtics franchise.
Seriously. Anyway. Okay, Alex, you are up.
Yep, I am. Let's see. Jeez. All right. Well, there's one other name on the list that we highlighted. It's Rodney Magruder. And you know what? I'm going to say the Boston Celtics should consider Rodney Magruder, because Rodney Magruder is a guy who has played in the NBA.
He's a good shooter.
I have almost no thoughts on Rodney Magruder. Yeah, he's a fine shooter. He's never found a consistent place to be. You know, I've never like thought of, I'll be honest, guys. I don't think I have thought about Rodney Magruder in basically since he was drafted. That's my feelings on Rodney Magruder. If the Boston Celtics sign Rodney Magruder, I will feel completely neutral about it, because I just don't know anything about him.
Cool. The last name we have on our list is Jamichael Green, and I'm going to say that the Boston Celtics should make a call to Blake Griffin, because look, the vibes are broken, I imagine. Though the premise to me that like Jason and Jalen are going to be the voices of the locker room feels fundamentally preposterous. They have a 35 now year old coach who has a quiet and sometimes confusing voice. Jaylen Brown is intense and a visionary, but of a sort. And Jason Tatum is quiet and likes to play golf. And also both of those guys are 25 and 26. Sam Cassell. They have Al Horford. They have voices in the locker room, but it seems like Blake was such an obvious rallying point He connected the bench with the starters. He had the ear of the stars. He had the ear of the coaching. If we have established that, you know, the deep bench isn't going to play that much, and Lord knows Blake should not be playing that much for any sort of contender. I just think for a little bit more continuity and for, hey, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. With respect to Jamichael Green, who technically it was my turn and I was supposed to talk about him, I would make a call to Blake Griffin and just run it back.
Sure.
I hope Blake Griffin is being offered a little more money elsewhere. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe. Okay, we have a bonus round. Ooh. There are a few contracts that Boston could cut that aren't guaranteed that not only would save them some money, but open up roster spots in case they do want to sign Wes Matthews and Harry Giles. So Delano Banton, Justin Quinn, cut him or keep him?
I think keep him. He's interesting enough. I think he showed enough when he did play in summer league that, you know, don't expect too much of him other than a guy who can nominally be the point guard, do some point guardy kind of things, but mostly is just long and disruptive on defense. I think that's the main role for him this coming season.
All right, Alex, because I'm too biased to answer this one, cut or keep Justin Champagne?
I would say keep. Why not? I think Justin Champagne is, you know, reasonably like he has NBA size. He can score, you know, he can do a little rebounding, a little bit of it. He's a somewhat versatile player. Again, I don't think that he's like in line for a particularly huge role. But what I like about Champagne is that he can do a couple of different things. He's not just like one guy, you know, he's not just a scorer. He's not just a defender. He's, you know, he's trying to do a bunch of different things. And I feel like he could have some lineup versatility that I actually like. So I would say keep, why not?
And I have Luke Kornet. I'd like to see a world where Porzingis and Horford are the starting and backup power forward, and Rob Williams and Blank are the starting and backup center. And you could do worse than Luke Kornet, but you could also maybe do better. This exercise kind of pointed out that how they do better is probably not by way of free agency. But if, you know, cutting Luke Kornet and trading Pritchard, you can trade for a guy who makes $5 or $6 million or something, I would kick the tires on that. And that's, I'm saying that as Luke Kornet might be my favorite Celtic other than Marcus Smart of the past like decade. So from a like personal perspective, please keep Luke Kornet. He's great. From a, I'd like to see the Boston Celtics win all the basketball games perspective. The million or so dollars that you would get by cutting him might be more valuable with great respect.
2.4. 2.4.
Oh, got him. Get out of here, Luke Kornet. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Kornet, and then get rid. I don't know. And if they keep him, other teams have worse backup centers and functionally fourth backup big men. However, two injuries away from him playing like 30 minutes a game in the postseason, you know. That's Paul. I didn't invent that. Okay.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I just want to make one more point on this front, which is that I really do think like if the situation is the Celtics lose one of their three big men for an extended period of time, Jason Tatum, congratulations, you're sliding over to the power forward position. Like, that's the solution to this.
No, O'Shea Brissett is, baby. It's Brissett time.
Either one. I would be really surprised if they're like, yes, Bismack Biyombo, you have 25 minutes a game now.
Yeah, I'll be so curious. I mean, Joe Mazzulla clearly wants to play five wide, and Steven seems to like want to support that, but then also went and got the second or third tallest NBA player in the league. So it's unclear how big or how small they want to play. I'm very curious like how many post touches Porzingis ends up getting, or if it's like he catches it and immediately goes back out to the 3-point line. Okay, a few more questions and then we'll bid you an adieu until next week or something breaks. Christian Wood and Kelly Oubre were not on our list, as were a few people, because we think that they will make more money. Boston could, in theory, use the taxpayer mid-level exception, but they probably won't. And maybe these guys will earn more than that. Although, Justin, as you alluded to, there's not that much cap space out there. Alex, pick one of them to talk about. Do they deserve more than a mid-level exception at this point? A mini one, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so I think I made my opinions on Christian Wood pretty clear on the last podcast. So I'm going to go with Kelly Oubre this one. I think there is something to be said for the idea that Kelly Oubre can carve out a role on an NBA team. He's a little bit of a hothead still. And the big issue with Kelly Oubre is that his shooting is just so volatile. Like, it comes and goes, and it's so volatile that it's really hard for him to nail down a consistent role. But he has legitimately high level NBA athleticism. That dude can get out and run. He can really hurt teams in transition. And in the right system, I think he can actually be an okay defender. I think the Celtics could potentially utilize him as a kind of long swing piece to just like get in guys' faces for 5 minutes here or there. So I would be okay with them going after Kelly Oubre. I think that he could get more than the minimum. I think he could get I don't think he will get the full MLE just because his shooting is a little bit too on again, off again. But I think you could see him getting like a mini MLE or a taxpayer MLE or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. So I would say, yeah, go for it.
Can I hop in on that before we talk about? I would love that. I think that probably he can earn more, and I don't know that Boston should like possibly burst through the second apron just to get Kelly Oubre, but I don't think he's ever played for a good team. I know he played for the Warriors that one season, but that was when they were bad. I'm curious, with like the right infrastructure and not needing to be the man, what he's capable of. I also think that he could be a weirdo with Jaylen Brown, and they could like do fashion and be alternative together. And he has one of the best nicknames in the NBA, Tsunami Poppy, which is just not something that I'm willing to overlook. So, oh, also he has a nose ring, and I have to represent that community. So anyways, I don't think the Celtics can afford it. It wouldn't be a crazy fall from grace for him to take a flyer for a year on himself, but probably too expensive for Boston. Justin Quinn, what say you about Christian Wood?
Christian Wood is almost certainly going to be a Los Angeles Laker based on what we were hearing from Hoops Hype's Michael Scotto, who recently put out a report saying that they are considering even sending out Jared Vanderbilt to the Mavericks in a sign-and-trade. It sounds like they probably want some additional compensation for something like that. I would keep Jared Vanderbilt easily, but if that's what they want to do, he's getting more than minimum.
Yeah, that's the Lakers had such a nice little offseason. Why would they muddy the water even a little bit?
The Lakers.
I mean, I feel like Christian Wood, if like he just signed with the like, you know, vet minimum for the Lakers, they'd probably be able to resuscitate his career. There's nothing better for being a fringe rotation player in the NBA and getting back to actually like getting real minutes than LeBron James giving you the best possible shot every single time. But if you're sending out Jared Vanderbilt, a guy who is an actual NBA player that could be like a useful utility guy for just about any team in the league, that's not a good deal.
I don't really want to end on what the Lakers are up to, but I also want to pause and we can talk about JD Davison, Scrub, and Walsh another time. So I'll just say this. The Celtics Up podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. We keep saying next episode we'll talk about Jaylen Brown's extension, but who the hell knows? So who knows? Maybe we'll talk about JD Davison and Jay Scrub then. Otherwise, Dr. Quinn, enjoy your vacation. Alex, enjoy your fleeting moments here in Boston. And everyone else, stay cool, because it's pretty hot out there and also cold this summer for the rest of your life.
Woo.
Adios.